Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. What a wonderful day. Amen. We could be in Alaska somewhere. That might be nice. I don't know about this time of year, but we're right here, aren't we? Praise God. It's great to be in this revival. We finally got here last night, and it's been going good forever got here. And we're thankful for the grace of God, all that He's done. Amen. He can do more in a few moments than we can do in a lifetime. Amen. He knows more than we'll ever know. Holy Ghost is more intelligent than we will ever be. So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost working in our lives. Amen. So what a privileged people we are. Good to see everybody here tonight. And I got saved in youth camp, believe it or not, years ago. And right here in this Miami Valley. And I've always been a challenge to preach to young people. Amen. And you were young one day in your life. Amen. And so it's a necessity, essential, amen, to speak and to help and guide young lives. It's more important what you leave in your children than what you leave to your children. Amen. What you leave to them, they may squander away and give up and fight, but what you leave in them will be with them forever. Amen. Living on the brink of the coming of the Lord. I'd like to live like He's going to come tonight. Amen. Praise God. We need sweet hour of prayer on our face and the battle hymn of the Republic in our heart. Well, this is the last days, folks. We're eligible to see dead bodies rise from the ground and go be with the Lord and then be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, 1/1000ths of a second. And go with them. I want to live like He's going to come tonight. Praise God. Somebody said, well, old Brother Spookendike, he's devil's been on his back. Let me tell you something about that. When you're saved, you have God trouble way before you have devil trouble. Amen. You have God trouble. You have commitment trouble. The world's not our problem. Commitment is our problem to the Lord. Amen. Because if you're saved, you're not going to do what the devil wants you to do. Amen. Satan don't even have the keys to his own house. Jesus took them. Amen. So we have victory tonight if we want it, and we got everything it takes to make it. Amen. How many's going to help me preach tonight? Amen. You help me here, Jeremiah chapter 2. Praise God. Appreciate brother and sister Pierce. Amen. Their hospitality, their goodness, kindness. Amen. Every preacher is not a good preacher. I'm not talking about ability to speak. Amen. Every preacher is not a good preacher. There's some that preach, and then there's some that minister. Amen. And we need ministers today. Praise God. People need help today, folks. Amen. Living in the last of the last days, I want to do what God wants me to do. Say amen. Good to see all you preaching brothers. Amen. Appreciate all of you so much. And I'd like to see young people get touched tonight and old alike. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 11, good to see my nephew here, Brother Jeremy. Amen. Good to see them and everybody that's visiting tonight. We're glad you're here. Amen. Even if you're not from the churches that represent the youth service, youth rally, we're glad you're here. All right, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doeth not profit.
Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. I want to preach tonight on I Wonder How Close. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you this evening, Lord, that we have an opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, God, for truth that will prevail. We're believing you, Lord, that you will revive. You will stir. Help young people tonight, amen, and adults alike to be in your will, Lord. If not, find that will, God. Minister tonight in this altar, we pray, believing that you will save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Verse 11 said, my people have changed their glory. They didn't stop having church. They didn't stop shouting. They didn't stop singing, God's not dead. They didn't stop having church. They just redirected their glory. Amen. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. This was a relational thing. It wasn't accidental. It was committed. It wasn't one sin. It was two evils. Amen. Can you imagine Christians committing evils? Sure. It happens because people still claim something they're really not. And they get further in depth of this world and sin. Sin means missing the mark, an offense. There's a difference between sin and evil. Evil means wicked, morally bad, vicious, fierce, pernicious, very destructive, and injurious. So here we are. In the last of the last days, the Lord's about to come back. We're still having church. We're still going through the procedure. We're still going through the functions of the church. The Bible said, they have forsaken me. They have hewn themselves out broken cisterns. Amen. They have rejected the fountain of living waters. They made their own cistern. They made and correlated up their own ideal and their own standard and their own law. And they have got stale. They've got old. They've got stagnated. Amen. They're living on last month's mud hole. Nothing's fresh. Nothing's anointed. Amen. Going through the motions. And their spirit has mimicked the real Holy Ghost. And they think they've got that real Holy Ghost. But they're living a life of make-believe. I'm asking young people tonight, amen, to dig deeper in God because Jesus is about to come and we need to be in the middle of the right side of the road. Don't be in the middle of the road. You're going to get hit. Can you say amen? Follow me here tonight. We're Christians. We're believers tonight. We pay tithes. Young people, if you make $10, you owe a dollar tithe. Well, it's just sissy. It's just our son. Don't make no difference. They need to pay tithes. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to pay tithes. You can't rob God and be right with God. Say amen. Didn't cost you nothing. Amen. But we read our Bible. We're Christians. Then one day, all of a sudden, we think, well, nobody's perfect. And I try to be a witness at school. And I try to do my best at the public school system or on the job where I work after school. And I don't want to intimidate nobody. I want to stand for the Lord, but I don't want to be too outgoing. And where I go to school, it's a green apple place. I mean, there's heathens there. And I think I'll just be a silent witness.
I wonder how close I can get this to the edge without it falling off.
Then we start asking tricky questions. Hey man, when you start living on the edge. Hey man, well, you know what? I wonder, Brother Bolin, do you think that we could maybe social drink somewhat? I mean, they do at that other church down the road. Or what about sipping a little wine? Hey man, I mean, is there really anything that bad about it? The Bible speaks against drunkenness, but what about just a little drink? Hey man, like one lady at the office party, she had already had 3 drinks. The waiter come by and invited her to have another one. She said, no, the Holy Spirit said 3 was enough. Come on here. I'm talking about the real world tonight. I'm talking about invasion in our Pentecostal holiness ranks. Hey man, I hear things like this all over. Or not a lot of places, but as I've traveled. Hey man, follow me here tonight. Amen. They'll say, well, the Bible says, do all things in moderation. Brother Bowling, Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Let's just turn up a whole bottle of NyQuil. Come on here. Amen. Oh, my. I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without it falling off. Then we start comparing issues. One church I know of, they started going through the scriptures trying to find a legal way to have a Christian divorce so they could marry the right person they really wanted to marry. What's wrong, Brother Bolin? What's the lottery? I mean, what's $10 a week? My, there's some people loses that much, or $520 in a year's time. They lose that much in their stocks that they got. I mean, what's wrong? And if I do win the lottery, Brother Bolin, I'm going to pay tithes on it. These are issues that pastors have to deal with. Amen. And they don't tell you everything. Come on here. Like Paul Harvey had on his program several years ago, this lady, a Christian lady, supposed to be, won the lottery, millions of dollars. So the media asked the pastor what he thought about it. We's forgive her. We's forgive her. Oh my. Listen to me. Life is a gamble. We're gambling every day. Every time you get in the car, you could wreck. It's life's a gamble. I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without it falling off. Oh my. Then we say, well, you know, we need to play golf with the other kids in school on Saturday. They're not Christians, but you know, we want to kind of help them. And this rich fella at school, well, his dad's joined the Moose Lodge. And I want to do that when I get older. Or I need to join the city softball team so I can, amen, lay out on Sunday morning because I got hurt on Saturday night. Oh, yes. And we got to go on vacation with our neighbors. Now, they're not saved, but you know, I'm trying to help them out. Listen to me. I wonder how close I can get this to the edge without it falling off. Then your dad that's raising you in the church, your dad that's been bringing you to the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, occasional Wednesdays, hey man, he's real busy, he's a worker, he's a consultant, he flies 3 times a week, his secretary goes along with him on the plane trip, hey man, now you see, he knows her husband, and she knows his wife, and they're friends, so to speak. And yes, they eat together as they go place after place. He lectures. Amen. His secretary coaches other teams in the business. And they share stories. And then all of a sudden he says, you know, I wouldn't just tell everybody this, but you know, one time we had to share a motel room. But you know what? I slept on the couch, he would say, and she slept on the bed. And hey, listen, this is today's world. This is today's life. Things have to be done. I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without it fallen off. Well, what's wrong with R-rated movies? The Passion of Christ was R-rated. Why, there's bad language every time you go to school. There's bad language every time you go to Walmart. And hey, well, everybody, we got to do what we got to do, you know. And we just got to help each other. Oh, I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without it falling off. This is a liberated ideologies that's going through the minds of people. Over 600 different denominations around the world. Everybody claims to be the church and to be the one. Amen. And Brother Bolin, I heard the preacher preach. He preached that preacher in the 1500s named Martin Luther, that he drank wine and he smoked a pipe. And you know, Brother Bolin, my cousin, she's a real good girl. She's older than me. She's married. But you know, she smokes. And I heard about C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher in London that filled up the tabernacle 5,000 Sunday morning, Sunday night. He smoked cigars and they had him on a billboard. Amen. And said, this is this a very brand that C.H. Spurgeon smokes. And listen to me. I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without it falling off. Amen. And Brother Bolin, we're considered strict. We can take our tracts back to the book of Acts. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in the power of God. They're calling us legalists. They're calling us legal beagles, legal eagles. They're calling us holy rollers. We got to have a good way to relate to people. We've got to be able to talk to them so that we got to kind of fudge. In Kentucky, fudge is cheap. Come on here. Hey, man, we got to fudge, we think. Hey, that's the ideal that the devil wants us to think about. He wants us to live a life where we can be coerced and pulled and lured from the other side and still stay in the church and still sing songs and still go through the motions. Brothers, sisters, young people, listen to me. What it took in 1973 when I started evangelizing, it takes the same thing tonight to live for God and to tell the story and to sing the song. The Lord's coming back. We ain't got time to mess around. Amen. With a gainsaying world and a liberal intoxicated ministry of this day. Say amen. Now follow me here. I want to get this across to you tonight, young people. Legalism is the view that what Jesus done wasn't enough, so we got to do a lot of things extra, like holiness, living, apparel, and on. That the grace of God must be added to. This is the frame of mind of the modern, liberal, charismatic style people. That's what they think. They call us legalistic. So that I'm saved, that we're saved by faith and access to grace plus works. And the works that they talk about is the things called standards that we live. We are saved, the Bible said. Now watch this. We're saved, the Bible said, by grace through faith. The Bible said faith without works, without evidence, is dead. Faith without proof is dead. It is not faith plus works. It is a faith that works. Amen. It is not my behavior. It is a faith that alters and changes me internally, that I've got a desire to serve God and to live for God. Say amen. Moses gave us 10 commandments. He did not give us 10 suggestions. Amen. He did not give us 10 options. He gave us 10 commandments. If you'll read the New Testament, Jesus gave us 49 commandments. We are under order and law. Jesus teaches 5 times more than the great Moses about commandments. Moses' commandments, amen, are externally imposed upon us. The Bible said the fire, the thunder, dancing, all of that at the mountain. Touch the mountain and you're a dead one. You won't live any longer. But Jesus' commandments are internal and they're scriptive. They're Bible. Amen. So the push and the desire to obey is from the inside out. Hallelujah. Not from the outside in. As holiness people, we say this is wrong to do. You can't go there. The other side, the liberal side, they say this isn't wrong and you can go there. What are they saying? They're just as legalistic as we are. Amen. One is bent toward reframing. The other is bent toward indulgence. One emphasizes what I'm free from doing. The other emphasizes what I'm free to do. But both them and us arrive at legalistic. Amen. One says, I'm permitted to do this thing, and the other says, I'm prohibited from doing this. But I don't mind being an old-time Holy Ghost conservative Christian. I do not want to live on the border. I'm not going to build my house on the edge. I'm not going to sit in the window like Eutychus and like Humpty Dumpty on the wall. I'm not going to take in the both worlds. Can you say amen? Amen. Some folks right in our churches, they're living right here. I wonder how close I can get that to the edge without falling off. Amen. When you have Bible proof, thank you. When you have Bible proof, you can't get any surer than that. Amen. It's already the Bible. The question should not be, how close can I live to the edge? The question should be, how close can I get to God? How close can I get to the Holy Ghost? How close can I get in the depths of the Scripture and my lifestyle dedicated to the commitment of thus saith the Lord? Amen. Jesus is about to come back. How can I know you in the power of your resurrection, Lord? How can I know you in joy unspeakable, full of glory? We must stop trying to just get by. And we must say, Lord, my desire is not a direction. My desire is a director. Amen. I'm not here to make up some kind of a new doctrine like Cain did. Amen. We need to start seeing how close can I bury my life in the church? How close can I get to respecting the pastor more than I ever have? How much can I get of God to spill over on my friends that they'll know there's been a change in me? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me show you a problem I've seen. I've been to 440 churches since 1972. I've been around the country. Amen. I've been a lot of places. Let me show you what's happening today. And I believe that I'm correct tonight. We've got, and it started years ago, and it's still going on. Young people are bleeding into the church. They've been raised in it. They're just bleeding and pouring over into the heritage. They don't have a real personal relationship like they need to. They're just blending in all their lives. And we consider, well, they've been going to church. They can read the Bible. Listen to me. A lot of some young people have never got a real relationship until they've even got married sometimes. Yes, they're coming along and getting along, but they need that personal, intimate touch of God that where they throw themselves on the altar. We can't throw them into this and blend up like it's going to work. You need your own dedicated, consecrated, committed life. And it's more. It's more than going to youth camp. I got saved in youth camp. Youth camp will not last if you don't serve God every day of your life. Youth rally's a great thing, but what are you going to do the next 29 days? We need to get a drive in our life. Let me, God, live close to you than I ever have. Amen. How much do you love your mother and dad? How much do you love your brother, your sister, your flesh brother and sister? What would you give up for love? Love motivates you in a different way than anything else. The only way to solve the legalistic problem of permission and prohibit is you got to get close to God and get that personal touch of God in your own life. Is your life dominated by a lot of things around you? Amen. Listen, young people, preachers are going to fall. They're fallen. Don't ever get a preacher for an idol. Not even your pastor. They're not your idol. When you idolize something, there's no room for respect. Amen. You need to respect your pastor. You need to respect that man that preaches, that has some influence in your life. But don't ever idolize them. Amen. God's got to be first. It'll carry you further. And you'll have genuine dedication to God. Look what he said. My people have changed their glory. They haven't got out of church. They've redirected their attention. Amen. They've relocated their interest. They have reestablished another kind of love elsewhere in their heart. Something shines inside. Something dominates inside. Young people, the Bible said they have forsaken me. Can you imagine forsaken God? The only God there is. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the cleanup specialist in your soul tonight. The Holy Ghost does not want to visit you. He wants to take up in your house of clay a residence. The Holy Ghost is looking for His rightful position in your personal life, young people. He wants to be the headmaster of your soul, and He requires special accommodation. Amen. He's the holy guest that stays forever. Now follow me here. Henry Blackaby said one time, he said, the holiness of your life is like a highway on which God travels. Holiness of your life, God travels that highway to manifest Himself through you. He said, the absence of holiness is like potholes and bridges that are out that prevent the flow of the Holy Ghost in you. It puts limitations in your life. He said, without holiness, the manifestation of God to you will never come through you. He'll never do it. He'll never have it. You're still singing. It'll never come through you. You're still going through the procedures of church. You're still showing up. Oh, my aching sin. You remember in the Bible, in his private life, caused 36 men to die in battle because he was stuck on himself and he had an agenda within himself. Adam and Eve, their sins, our first parents who became the head federations of sin, they still affect us to this day. That Adamic nature is alive and active, and it's everywhere because there's flesh everywhere. We need to get a desire for God that nothing will separate us from the love of God and the relationship. Amen. You'll never have a horizontal life for God till you get a vertical one. That's between God and you. Can you say amen? Young people's got weights on them that holds them down. It's a distraction that keeps them from their potential. You never get to that place. It's something that prevents you from being on top. It is to do what you want to do. I want to say what I want to say. But when you get just right with God, you'll say, Lord, nothing matters but pleasing you. You see, God's not a drill sergeant that we obey Him and we have duties only to Him. He wants pleased as well as obeyed. Amen. Like a father that says to the son, cut the grass, would you? He cuts the grass and the boy comes back in and says, Dad, I cut the grass like you said. And oh yeah, Dad, I cleaned the mower off and I trimmed also. And the old dad's smiling as he's shaving. Ah, you did the initiative. It didn't have to be done, but you did it. And it's better than left undone. Little things make a difference. Amen. 1 degree is the difference between ice and water. 1 degree is the difference between, amen, boiling and hot. And 1 degree is the difference between rain and snow. Everything in your life, whether it's minute or major, when it comes to serving God, it's a necessity. It's an imperative. It must be done. It'll lead you the right way. It'll bring you along. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You got to ask yourself sometime, Lord, am I doing exactly what you want me to do? Fixing the clothes. Somebody just get me a song here tonight. Just help me here tonight. You remember Eutychus? Sitting in the window. Curtis Teague was preaching. No. Paul was preaching alone. Amen. Oh my. Eutychus made a choice to sit in the window. He was neither in nor out. He was both. He was sitting on the edge, trying to take part of both worlds. Amen. We got young people trying to do that today. Demas never made it back. Amen. Judas never made it back. Hosea, or rather Herod, never made it back. They had potential. They had everything they needed. Judas, a bosom friend of Jesus. Demas among the disciples of the Lord. Listen to me tonight. You cannot live on the edge and make it to heaven. The devil's going to make you a prime target. He's going to pull you the other way. Amen. There is no spiritual security on the edge. There is no commitment on the edge. A worldly Christian makes about as much sense as a heavenly devil, and there ain't no such thing tonight. Stay away from the border, young people. Stay away from that place where the devil can shoot you down and rob you. The devil can never do a thing to you until he first steals from you. He steals that integrity. He steals that joy. He steals those things. He brings in admiration and fascination. And you're admired by this thing, that thing, fascinated. He draws your attention away. Amen. When you're living in the suburbs, amen, of God. When you're living out close to the city line and limit with God. And God's in the city hall. And while you're out there living, you get cut, you get hurt. Amen. You catch gangrene. You're too far from the heart center of where you need to be. So you could lose it. Because living on the edge, living on the border, is a 50-50 chance. No matter what you claim. No matter who your family is. When you play and toy with the greatness of God, it's going to happen. I pastored before. Let me tell you about some people in church. They got a lot of good qualities, young people and adults. But listen to him right here. Some people in our churches, they come to church going home. They're just showing up. We need to be closer to the altar than the window. Catch this right here. Eutychus was outwardly in, but he was inwardly out. He couldn't get where he needed to be. Did you know you can lose your soul living on the edge in the house of God? Adults, maybe some young people, their daytimer, if you could read it, their checkbook, if you could get to it, tells what kind of person they really are. Because it reveals their priorities and it reveals what's important in their life. Because they're living on the edge. They're still coming to church. They're still paying tithes most of the time. Some folks don't care what direction their church goes, just so they're still a deacon. Just so they're still singing. Just so they can play an instrument. Just so they're a Sunday school teacher. Just so they're the most important family in the church. They don't care what direction the church takes on. Just so their children's not bothered by the preaching. Just so they're not pointed out by the scriptures. Listen to me. Sin is greedy. It'll put you to sleep just like Eutychus. You won't see things like they really are. Just like Eutychus. Before he fell, he was asleep. He was asleep. I wonder how close I can get this to the edge without it falling off. Oh my. We take life for granted. We take our daily life for granted. Mom and dad's raised you and probably spoiled most of you. Amen. So you don't know what it is to really tough it out. I want to tell you something. There's nothing worth going to hell for, young people. Nobody, not anything. Not anything you can get, not anything you can buy. No entertainment, nothing's worth going to hell for. Living on the edge, just trying to get by, trying to enjoy both sides of life. But there's coming a day, and it won't be long, but there's what's going to happen. You're going to fall. You fell asleep the last time. The devil's got you in his trap. He's got his slimy hands on your life. You fell. You lived there. You tried to make it without doing what you knew to do. There's nothing worth going to hell for. Let's stand tonight, everybody standing. Oh God, help us tonight. Oh God, help us tonight. Oh God, help us to see where we're at, God. Help us to see where we're at, God. Oh. Oh, God. Oh, adults, tonight, don't let your children run the house. Don't let them dictate you. Don't let them take advantage of getting their way. You'll ruin them. I said you'll ruin them. It'll take everything just to keep them saved. What a God. What a God. He's so merciful. So merciful. Amen. What about you right now? Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here right now as they sing softly? Are you here right now living on the edge? You don't know what you really ought to do. You've got ideas. You may be here backslid. You may be here just freshly saved. You may be here, amen, in a situation that you don't know how to take care of. I want to tell you something. You can find your answer right here. The altar is a place of direction. The altar is the location for commitment and communication. Right here is where to know what to do. You got to land on this altar or you're going to lose out. What about you right now? You'd like to come first by coming down these aisles. You're saying, Brother Bolin, I'm living on the edge and I got to get help. Amen. Here's one tonight. Anybody else? You're living too close to the border and the devil's been trying you. He's been trying your patience. He's been warring against you. And you've given too much. You give in, and the powers of darkness invade. And they come on strong. Oh, is there another? There's three tonight. Anybody else right now? You'd like to pray and say, Lord, help me tonight, God. Help me tonight, God. Don't let me live too close to the border, God. Help me, God, to be where I need to be. Get back to that altar. That'll get you away from that window tonight. All right, everybody else. Young people, first come to these altars. If you want to stand, you can. If you got a friend up here you want to help pray with, please do. Amen. Let's come and redirect our lives. Let's come and say, Lord, I want to live close to you, God.